Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
One of the most pernicious aspects of Obamacare is that it disregards religious liberty. When you have the federal government getting so intimately involved in health care,
to mess with such givens in the human project, givens in human nature, such as the right to life, religious freedom, and the definition of marriage, is toxic.
Americans, once in a while, get so passionate about equality that in order to achieve it, they would sacrifice everything. They prefer equality and freedom, but they would accept equality and slavery.
I'm not listening for the voice of God on the inside. If I want to hear the voice of God, I'm listening to the scriptures and to the preaching.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
Mom!
Well, there are a few causes. I mean, use that word cautiously. There are a few causes in the United States that unite people, that get people going the way this one does. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and that means that if you watch football, you're going to see pink ribbons on the helmets or someplace else. You're going to see pink shoes or socks. You're going to see pink everywhere, a sign that you support the fight against breast cancer. Now, the fight has intensified because the incidence of detected breast cancer has been rising. And it's been rising at an alarming rate. And that's part of the reason why people unite to try and fight this. If it's a month to be aware of this disease and its prevalence and its dangers and its treatments, it should also be a month to be aware, to be completely aware of what may contribute to that rise in its incidence, shouldn't it be? Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Angela Lanfranchi here in the first few minutes, talking about the link between breast cancer and abortion. A little bit later, we'll get some response to your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. And then Terry Mattingly will join us from Scripps Howard News Service. We'll talk about media coverage of the persecution of Christians in Pakistan, Kenya, Syria, and Egypt. All very recent headlines. How is the media covering it all? Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Angela Lanfranchi is a regular guest. She's a breast cancer surgeon and founder of the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute. Dr. Lanfranchi, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Now, good to be here.
If it's a Breast Cancer Awareness Month, how would you make our listeners aware of how we accurately ought to account for what is considered kind of a precipitous rise in the incidence of breast cancer?
There has been. It's been over a 40% increase risk in invasive cancer since the mid-70s and about a 300 to 400% increase risk in the non-invasive cancers like ductal carcinoma in situ. And it's really because of multiple things. It's the change of our lifestyle. So when my mother's generation used to get out of high school and get married 19, 20 years old and start having children, they had one cancer risk rate. But what happened was when Women's Lib came out, a lot of women went to higher education and into careers, and corporations wouldn't hire you unless you could assure them that they wouldn't waste their training on you because you were going to get married, get pregnant, and not work for them anymore. They relied on the birth control pill. The birth control pill is a group 1 carcinogen for breast, cervical, and liver cancer. And according to the CDC, about 82% of all women of reproductive ages take that group 1 carcinogen. So that's one reason that the risk has gone up in terms of numbers and incidences of breast cancer. To give you an idea of how strong that association is, the same drugs that are in birth control pills are in hormone replacement therapy. So when the word did get out in 2002 on the 6 o'clock news, because the Women's Health Initiative showed HRT caused a 26% increased risk of breast cancer, the 30 million women who were on that drug heard about it, and 15 million or half of them stopped that year. And as a result, the incidence of breast cancer in this country went down 11% over the next several years because 15 million women stopped their exposure to hormone replacement therapy, also a group 1 carcinogen for breast, cervical, and liver cancer. So that was one thing. And then we delayed our families so that we could go through higher education. Largely, they were delayed through the pill and through abortion when the pill didn't work. And so what protects you from breast cancer is having a full-term pregnancy, because a full-term pregnancy matures your breast tissue to become cancer-resistant. So about 85% of your breast tissue becomes cancer-resistant after that first full-term pregnancy, or a pregnancy that at least lasts until 32 weeks. And so when you do get pregnant and your breasts double in volume, they get a lot bigger because they're making more tissue. But initially, that tissue is immature and cancer vulnerable. So if you cut that pregnancy short of 32 weeks, either through abortion or a premature birth before 32 weeks, you're doubling your breast cancer risk because your breasts are left with more places for cancers to start. So abortions, as we know, you know, there's been about 54 million since Roe v. Wade, and that will increase risk. For every year you delay having a full-term pregnancy, you increase your risk of premenopausal breast cancer by 5% per month. And never having children is a risk for breast cancer. So those are a couple of big reasons why the risks have gone up and the incidence of breast cancer has gone up, especially in younger women.
So while we should not say every woman who contracts breast cancer, there has to be some link to, say, abortion or to delay of childbirth or something like that. There are other causes. We cannot ignore the actual link that's there.
Right. About 6 to 8% of breast cancers can be attributable to having one of the genes, like the BRCA genes, that increases your risk of getting cancer. But, you know, if you smoke before a full-term birth, before your breast tissue has become more cancer-resistant, if you smoke cigarettes, your risk of breast cancer goes up 600%. If you drink alcohol regularly enough to affect how well your liver processes the estrogen, your risk goes up of breast cancer. So there's lots of lifestyle things that women do. Not all women who have abortions are get breast cancer, and breast cancer, women with breast cancer all haven't had an abortion, but it is a significant risk factor, especially if it's of the first pregnancy that a woman has.
You've been talking about this for many years, and you actually deal as a surgeon with cases of breast cancer. Why is it that the public is so ill-informed with regard to the connection between these lifestyle issues and abortion?
I think it kind of starts at the physician level. So when a physician that's practicing reads a textbook and they go up and they look at lists of ways to prevent breast cancer, they're told about exercise and reducing alcohol intake in a table. But if you read the paragraph that accompanies the table, they say the best way to reduce your risk factor, the greatest impact, is to have an early full-term pregnancy. However, and this is a quote, due to the social and ecologic consequences of early pregnancy and multiple pregnancies, we haven't listed that in the table. So doctors may not even be aware. If you're an OBGYN and you make your money seeing women in the office for their every 6 months they're coming in for their renewal of prescriptions for their birth control pills, the risk in terms of epidemiologic terms, the risk of increasing risk, say 30%, is not a huge number. So they won't see individually a lot of premenopausal breast cancer. But since 82% of the millions of women of that age are taking them, it impacts statistics. So it's a low risk, but in millions and millions of women. And that's why it contributes greatly to the incidence of breast cancer in this country. And so, and then if you're a breast surgeon and getting referrals from OBGYNs who find a lump on an exam or order a mammogram that's abnormal, they're not too thrilled at sending their patients to doctors who say, you know, the pill increases your risk of breast cancer and maybe you should get off of them. When the referring doctor is the one that, you know, fills it out for them every 6 months. So no one wants to believe that they've practiced medicine for 20 years and really have caused some harm. So like Benjamin Rush, who was a signer of the Declaration and a very, very well-known and admired surgeon, when homeopathy came out, because Joseph Hahnemann said, you know, maybe we shouldn't bleed people, you know, when they're sick. Maybe there's another way to treat them. Benjamin Rush said he would rather die with a lance in his hand than give it up, because that would have meant that all those years of bleeding and purging patients actually harmed them. And no one's willing to look and see that their life maybe hasn't been doing patients good.
Dr. Angela Lanfranchi is a breast cancer surgeon, and she's co-founder of the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute. You'll find a link to the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Lanfranchi, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time responding to your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line, and then Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service will be with us. We've got to go to media coverage of the persecution of Christians in Pakistan, Kenya, Syria, Egypt, and elsewhere. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent. in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and issues, etc., is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.